Thanks for listening to the Revival Today podcast with Evangelist Jonathan Shuttlesworth. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram, Facebook, or online at revivaltoday.com. Now, here's Evangelist Jonathan.
Thank you for waking up with me. Looking forward to seeing you this weekend in Lincoln, Nebraska. I will see you there, Todd. I'm glad you put Lincoln in all caps so I don't go to Omaha. Marcy, good morning to you. I just left you a comment on your Instagram that there's no way I'm going to listen to your YouTube video. I actually did that literally just before as the thing was coming on. So it's odd to see you. Lucy, Ninja, it's going to be a good day. And I think, I believe this message, and you're already watching, so I'm not trying to get you to watch, but this is a must because COVID's in the rearview mirror. If you're in the United States, it'll be in the rearview mirror shortly in other countries. But there'll be other things that come down the pike. Jesus said things will get worse and worse before his return, not better and better. So there'll be more plagues, not a plague. There'll be plagues. So COVID won't be the last one. And these are 9 Bible prophecy guarantees for you as a believer in the last days. I want you to write this down, right? I live in the world, but I'm not of the world. And write that on your notes, and we'll start with that, because that mentality, good to see you, TJ in Louisville. That mentality is essential from now until when Jesus returns, or until the rapture. I live in this world, but I'm not of this world. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that the tribulation saints, which were not, they're under a much worse, they're in a worse situation than the believer is right now, because this is the era of the church. The tribulation saints are under the reign of the Antichrist. And even then, the Bible says that the seal of God was on their forehead, and there were certain things that were not allowed to happen to them in the tribulation. You couple that with Exodus, where the Bible says that they applied the blood of the lamb to the doorposts of their home, and when the plague of death went door to door, it would not go in a home that had the blood on it. We've had, the book of Hebrews gives a great expose of how the blood of Jesus has actually, not the blood that represents the blood of Jesus, Christ's own blood has been applied to our lives, sprinkled over us. And so we live in this world, but the devil can't do what he wants. Most of you could quote the verse, John 10:10, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, if the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy, how come we're not all stolen from, killed, and destroyed? Because the devil can't do what he wants. He couldn't attack Job until the hedge of protection was breached. And Job was under a much worse covenant, and even then with Job, Satan said, I can't touch him. Not I won't touch him, I can't touch him. Because you have put a wall of protection around him, his family, and everything that he does. So you live in this world, but then, you know, we dealt with it yesterday if you watch me. We live in a spirit world. You know, the spirit world is supreme. The things that happen in this world are manifestations of things that happen in the spirit world. When Black Lives Matter did $2 billion worth of damage last year, was it any shock that it came out that the two founders are witches? Not, I'm calling them witches. They practice witchcraft. They tell people that. They contact dead spirits. Things are birthed in the spirit world. And in the spirit world, you're not like everybody else. In the physical world, you look like a regular person. 2 eyes, hopefully, a nose, a mouth, 2 ears. But in the spirit world, there's people that can't be touched by the devil. There's people that, look at when those demons cried out in Acts chapter 19. Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you? Think of that. You're not just fair game. We know the devil will be attacking this week. He ain't going to attack me. The Bible says that in 1 John that God holds them securely in his hand, and the evil one touches them not. Pause for drink. I think one of the things I noticed last year was the things I'm going to tell you today is Christians and Christian leaders didn't know them. You know, they felt like if the ship goes down, they go down with the ship. Nine Bible prophecy guarantees for you as a believer in the last days. Let's start in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which is an essential place to start. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. All of this is a gift from God, who brought us. So really, 18 is this paragraph where I want you to pay attention. 2 Corinthians 5:18. All of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. For God was in Christ, verse 19, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Write that down. No longer counting people's sins against them. I believe God's angry about what's going on in the world right now. No, he's not actually. He's very happy because he's already done what he planned on doing. Redemption is a finished work. God's not up in heaven ticked off that things aren't going the way he wished they'd go. He's not counting people's sins against them anymore because Jesus bore their sins. And my sins, your sins, and the sins of the world. Think of that. Jesus already paid the penalty for everyone's sin. So the reason I'm bringing this up is how many people, and I'm asking you, you can write back to me in the comments, how many people did you hear either say outright or intimate during COVID that God is judging the world? I believe this is a judgment from God. And anytime you hear somebody say that, you're listening to somebody that isn't what you would call biblically literate. Because if you know anything about Scripture, God sent judgments. But then when Christ came, Christ fulfilled God's judgment against man. Not for people that are saved, for everybody. Why should all the people have to die? Let one man die for the people. And then, so it's almost like you have two ditches on each side of the road. And most people are in a ditch. Either they think they don't understand what I just told you and they think God's still judging the world. Or in understanding what I just told you, they think there's no coming judgment. How many know Jesus already died for me, bro? He died for you. All our sins have been forgiven. All our past sins, our present sins, our future sins are all forgiven. There's nothing you can do that's going to upset God. Well, when they say it like that, what they don't understand is, yes, your sins have been paid for, but if you won't receive the payment for it by repenting of sin, there's an action you have to take to draw on what God's put in your account. And if you refuse that action, then you will have to pay for your sins. And that's in eternity in hell. That's what the tribulation, it's the people who would not receive. I mean, you think about it. God sent his only son to die in your place. And you couldn't clear out 5 minutes in your life to receive that. Then the Bible says God's wrath remains upon them at that point. So you have until your life's over to get that done. And then if you don't, because you refused payment, you know, It's like if you went to a courtroom and you had a $500 speeding ticket, which I easily could have had yesterday because there was a cop in a new spot. Thankfully, he had other things to do. Let's say they're going to give you a $500 speeding ticket. And the cop said, you know what? Or the judge said, you know what? I'm going to pay the fine for you. And you said, oh, yeah? And then you gave him two middle fingers. Kicked your stand over and just rebelled in the court. Well, now you're in trouble. You wouldn't receive his payment. You rebelled against the guy that was trying to help you. And now you're going to have to answer for your original penalty because you want to participate. One prayer. When you hear people speak the grace message, so to speak, that, you know, Jesus already paid the penalty for our sins. No matter what you've done, no matter what you're going to do, bro. I understand that better than they understand it. But the reason I have an urgency when I give altar calls for people to be saved and all that is because though Christ has done his part, God has done his part, if you don't do your part, there's major trouble. Now, having said that, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Write that down one more time if you would. Nice to have you watching from France. No longer counting people's sins against them. I believe God's angry with the abortion that's going on. He's not, because Jesus paid the price for it, and now God is no longer counting people's sins against them. The anger that God would have at whatever sin you want to talk about was thrust on Christ at the cross. That's why he died in 4 hours instead of 4 days. That's why the Father turned his head from Christ. What was on us that made God not look at us was placed on Christ, and God had to turn his head from him. And when he turned his head from him, he was now could look at us because sin had been removed. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ who never sinned to become sin for us. In the New Living it says, to be the offering for our sin, with an asterisk. Because this is the kind of raw gospel that translators don't like to write because they have too much religion in them. Well, hey, Jesus couldn't have become sin. You will just say he became the offering. But that's not what it says. That's why they even had to put the asterisk and put it at the bottom, or to become sin itself. Christ became sin. You know, I need to get the 9 Bible prophecy guarantees, but if you look at the act of redemption in the Old Testament, where the sins of the people, the priest would lay his hands on a goat, and then the goat was led out into the wilderness to die on behalf of the people, because the wages of sin is death. Somebody had to die for my sin. Someone had to die for your sin. That's why we're Christians. Muhammad didn't, whether you like what he said or not, he didn't die for your sin. Buddha didn't die for your sin. There's no redemption. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. You can't just teach stuff and take over territory in the Middle East. That's not redemption. Christ became sin for us. I want to see what Finnis Dake would say about that. That seems to me like the kind of thing he would tackle. Second Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, so that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ. That is one powerful scripture. Second Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Christ became us on the cross. He took our sin so that we could become what he is, so that we could become him. Christians, little Christ is what it means in Acts. He healed the sick, we healed the sick. He cast out devils, we cast devils. And then our positioning is the same as his positioning. He swapped places with us, then buried the sin in the ground when he died and rose triumphant as the firstborn of many brothers. Let's see if he has a note. I had a feeling you would. Sin offering is all he wrote. No, he doesn't say it. He just says Christ was made a sin offering for us, became sin. He became our sin offering. That's why it's the only way to heaven. As chapter 6, verse 1, as God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, at just the right time I heard you, on the day of salvation I helped you. Indeed, God is ready to help you right now. Today is the day of salvation. I want you to write that in the comments and in your notes. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible is easily broken into dispensations. Even if you don't consider yourself a dispensationalist, I don't know how anybody in their right mind could feel Abraham had the same relationship with God that we have now. Abraham couldn't pray to the Father in Jesus' name. So there were different time periods on the earth, which is why people go back into the book of Job and get screwed up. Some of you heard me teach on healing yesterday. What do your friends do in church that don't believe in healing? What about Job? What about Job? Are we living in his time period? No. Was there a Levitical covenant or Mosaic covenant and Levitical law? No, there wasn't even that. Job was before all those covenants. The whole way that Satan got to Job was on the basis of his justification. If you let me touch him, I can get him to show you that he won't follow you. So Job had to be justified by his own works. We're not justified by our own works. We're justified by the work of Christ. So the way that Satan used to get to Job could never be used to get to the New Testament believer. It's very important to understand dispensations of the Bible. The tribulation saints after the rapture will not have the same relationship with God that we have now. They won't have dominion over the devil. So you can't just dance around in the Bible and apply whatever you want to your life. 9 Bible prophecy guarantees for you as a believer in the last days. When people talk last days, it's like negative. But I want to tell you 9 things that will give you bright eyes looking toward a bright future. Because it's not like God had all these great and precious promises in the Bible, and then when Israel was reborn as a nation, and then now that we're getting really close to the end, legalized gay marriage, looking to legalize pedophilia, that God's like, all right, you people are on your own, saved or unsaved. I've had it. No, your covenant with God, as long as the moon is in the sky and the sun's in the sky, so will my covenant remain in effect with you. So every morning when you wake up, just check to see if the sun's still up there. And if it is, you're good. 9 Bible prophecy guarantees for you as a believer in the last days. Number 1, understand that God is not judging the world. That's important to understand. Because if you think it's your father doing the stuff, then it takes the fight out of you. It's like people that believe God made them sick. Well, you're not gonna resist it, are you? You're not gonna fight against it. You're gonna accept it. Well, you know, I believe the Lord gave me this tumor to just, you know, teach me and humble me. And yeah, well then you're not gonna get healed because you think your dad did it to you. I mean, that's deception. So you need to know that all the bad things that you see happen in the world are not from God. Here's a powerful revelation for you. God is good, devil is bad. Bad things come from the devil, good things come from God. James chapter 1. Every good and perfect gift cometh from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variance or shadow of turning. That means he never changes. He's a good God. The devil's entirely bad, God's entirely good. I believe COVID was sent from God because of the abortion and wickedness that is in America. Well, you're stupid. How's that? Well, then where did it come from, Jonathan? The wages of sin is... Let's see who gets it first. The wages of sin is death. Sin magnetizes death and curse without any help from God. If I choose to stand in the ocean and waves hit me, it's not God making me wet. Where I chose to stand did it on its own. Not difficult to understand. Maybe it is difficult to understand. COVID won't be the last thing. The difference between the era we're living in right now and the tribulation is in the tribulation, the judgment does come from God. Because God receives all those that have received Christ's sacrifice for them to himself, and all the people that remain on the earth are the ones that didn't want in. No thanks, we're good. I don't need all that Jesus stuff. I'm glad you sent your son to die for me, but not really important to me. Then you stay, and then the judgment's poured out from heaven. Revelation chapter 3, the church is mentioned 19 times between Revelation chapter 1 to the end of chapter 3. Chapter 4, verse 1, John said, "And I heard a loud voice like a trumpet blast say, come up hither, come up into the throne room of God. And I went up into heaven." And from that point on, the church is never mentioned again. And vials are opened up and poured out from heaven on the earth. Bowls are opened up in heaven and poured out on the earth. So the rapture is the demarcation of where it stops being things going wrong on earth, because the earth is tired of the sin that's on it. Romans chapter 8 says that. The trees, everything on it, was subjected to the curse of sin against its will. There's like a groaning of the earth. The earth wasn't created to be exposed to sin. The curse of sin. So earthquakes, all that. The earth's had enough. It's not God destroying it. But that's why, how many of you have been following me for at least a year and a half? Let me see your emoji hand. If we were together in real life, I'd see your actual hand. If you do, you remember when they were saying there's going to be a 4-6% death rate from COVID, and that 6 million people were going to die. And Gavin Newsom said that you were going to have 1.2 million people die in California alone. I told you that's not going to happen. You know why? Because that's tribulation stuff. Not while we're here. There's a limitation on how severe things can get. And I'm not saying that now. I said it in the first week of March when we were just finding out about what got out of the lab in Wuhan. Number one, God is not judging the world. God's not looking to judge you. See, if I thought God was doing COVID, I might have shut down and stopped preaching. Because if God's angry, hey, Jonathan, what are you doing? I'm angry. So find a place to hide. Because I'm killing people, and I don't care who they are. But that's not God. Not yet. After the rapture, you're going to see a different side of God. When Christ comes back on a white horse with a two-edged sword, it ain't going to be giggling baby Jesus. It's a different Christ. Prince of Peace, where he takes the earth by force. But that's not now. So in knowing God's not judging the world, It gives me strength to move forward and to act. If you think God's judging the world, you're not going to get married. You're not going to have children. I've been hearing Christians talk like that since I was a little kid. You know, do you really think it's a good time to get married? And then, do you think it probably isn't the best time to have children? No, you can live. God will bless you. God likes children. God created the family. If you miss the rapture, I'd probably, you know, just, that's different. I'd probably just get two of those belts of bullets, put them across my chest crosswise, tie like a red bandana around my head, and go to work, because you're on your own. But not now. God is not judging the world. What you see are signs that Jesus said are leading up to his return. Number two, turn to Luke 17:28, which I've already started to get into. This is a very important scripture. You know, basically what I'm giving you today, a lot of you watch Check the News. We like watching you because you're different. You're like, you have a different take on the news. Yeah, because I know what the limitations are on what can happen right now. The devil is pushing to try to do what he's going to do in Revelation. But God doesn't run on the devil's clock. The devil runs on God's clock. So the devil always has to be ready for the rapture to have what he wants to do ready to go. And he tries to usurp it and go ahead of time, but he doesn't get to call the shots. And then not only is he not over God, he's not over me. Because we are the body of Christ. So if he's not over Christ, he's not over me. The devil is under my feet. So you can't tell me we're going to run out of oil, and we're going to run out of lumber. And people that do that, you'll be popular while you're making the predictions, but then you're going to look stupid in a year. Lumber prices are through the roof. I'm telling you, they're no, and then now they're falling. Now they fell 300%. There's going to be plenty of lumber, plenty of oil, plenty of chickens, plenty of beef, plenty of everything right up until the coming of the Lord for the church. These are not nine Bible prophets. This isn't to set you at ease. If you're choosing to live outside of God, you're in for a rough road. Luke 17:28. Basically, what I'm giving you is what I know. I picked out nine things I know that is the reason I preach on hell, but I'm happy. I know about COVID, but I'm happy. Because I'm not going down with the ship. I'm on my own ship. And you're welcome aboard too. The old timers call it the good old gospel ship. Luke 17:28. Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in the days of Lot. People went about their daily business, eating and drinking. So you know what that means? There's going to be food and stuff to drink. There's going to be a famine. It's going to wipe out the whole world. Not yet. Tribulation, different. Eating and drinking, and then write down, buying and selling. Business. If your understanding of Bible prophecy causes you to build a bomb shelter and stock up a bunch of weapons and get powdered milk, dehydrated milk, and rice for 7 years, you don't understand Bible prophecy. There will be eating and drinking, buying and selling, farming and building until the morning Lot left Sodom. Then fire and burning sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. Yes, it will be business as usual. Luke 17:30. Yes, it will be business as usual right up to the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Write that down. Business as usual. Peace, then safety, then sudden destruction. So number two, I want you to write it down like this. There's not a pre-apocalypse to the apocalypse. That's how I knew COVID couldn't be that severe, because there's not going to be a disease that's worse than the ones that are in Revelation, so that the tribulation's actually like a step down from what happened before. It's like, yeah, this tribulation is bad, but you should have been here before the rapture. It was actually worse. No. The tribulation will be a time of severe judgment worse than any era in human history. So I'm not just teaching this to teach it. That's why I invest money. That's why I'm making plans to build a church and expand. Because if you believe the other way, I wouldn't be building a church. I'd be building a bunker. Guys, you know, COVID, they're planning COVID-22, and then that's really when they're really going to roll stuff out. I'm not that old, but I'm old enough. I lived through the Soviet Union stuff when we were a half second to nuclear midnight in the 80s. I remember we had our antenna TV up on a stand, and we'd watch the news when we ate dinner, when my dad was home. And it was, you know, it was nuclear missiles pointed at the United States, 400 of them. Movies were coming out like Red Dawn, where you're just ready for stuff to hit the fan. And that passed. Then COVID, and everybody, every Walmart, there's actually too many Walmarts. The reason there's so many Walmarts is they build enough so that they could be a detention facility, and FEMA's going to start taking people that have COVID, and they're going to move you out into those detention facilities. And it never happened. It's going to happen, but not while I'm here. In some countries, it'll happen. Because if the church doesn't stand up, there's actually no restraining force against what the devil wants to do. So if you lay down like a bunch of nutless patsies, looking at you, South Africa, Canada, European countries, the church just shuts down and goes along with the government, you're going to be in trouble. Because it's not God that restrains the devil, it's the church that restrains the devil. That's why they had to have you closed down. That's why some of you are still closed down. 16 months later, if the government has their way, you'll never open back up, no matter how many times you put hashtag open the church. America right now, it is a symbol of what happens when the church takes a stand. They didn't give us our rights back. They didn't end COVID. We were done. We refused to comply. When they dropped the mask mandate in America and opened America back up, people were already doing their thing. We already had packed stadiums for baseball games. We were done. It's different. If you lay down and wait for permission, you can't comply your way out of demonic oppression and tyranny. That's another show. There will be no pre-apocalypse to the apocalypse. Number two. People will be buying and selling, farming and building, being married and given in marriage. Number three, this might be the, I don't want to say it's the most important. Tied for the most important of all nine, Malachi chapter 3. This is life-changing, this one. Malachi 3:16, then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other, and the Lord listened to what they said. In his presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him and always thought about the honor of his name. They will be my people, says the Lord of hosts. On the day when I act in judgment, they'll be my own special treasure, and I will spare them as a father's... what? I will spare them. Write down in the comments, God will spare me. Psalm 91, which I'm going to read. Though 1,000 fall at my one side and 10,000 are dying all around me, these evils will not touch me. That's the Bible. I'm not stopping one thing I'm doing, because God said, if you obey me, these things that are coming on the world won't touch you. That's the Bible. These people think they can pray a virus away. I don't even have to pray. No prayer required. It's scripturally unallowed to touch me. Then, listen to this. This is the point. Malachi 3:18. Then you will again see the difference, visible difference, between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who serve him not. Number three, there will be two clear roads that people travel on. For the sinner, for the one that walks in unrighteousness, things are not going to get better. Things are going to be very hard. Men's hearts will fail them because of the fear. But for those that obey God and speak, a book of remembrance was kept of those who feared me and loved to speak about the honor of my name. In that day, you will see the difference between the righteous and the wicked. Well, that's not heaven, because there's no wicked people in heaven. That's a visible demarcation of people that belong to God on this earth. How things work for them, totally different than how things work for the rest of the world. Totally different set of rules. When the Lord began to bless our ministry during COVID, like it had never been blessed before, I thought I had a lucky month, and I thought maybe I had two lucky months. Then I realized after about 3 or 4 months, man, this Bible thing's real. Didn't even make any sense. So I thought, well, it must just be me, because I've got like super faith and God really likes me, so I'll call around, because certainly some of my minister friends must be like really struggling. Couldn't find anybody, even internationally, that wasn't having the best year they ever had. I called quite a few people. So much money was coming in. You know, I had large tithes I needed to get rid of. I'd call people in hard lockdown countries where the military was, no, actually, we can't explain it. March was the best month we ever had, and April was even better. And everywhere I've traveled, you've just heard, man, my business exploded last year. Because it's going to go like this. Wicked, righteous. The path of the upright shines brighter and brighter until that perfect day. And I'll tell you, I've always preached that. But now I really believe it. Because it happened to me. It didn't make any sense. I had food stored up and stuff for COVID. You couldn't get me to be afraid of anything ever, forever. Because now I have a confidence, like a proven confidence, that God, my life is in God's hands and God will take care of me. I'm not on the road the rest of the people are on. You know, where there's an impending food shortage. Not for me, brother. The righteous will eat in plenty. That's what the Bible says. And I did. I didn't starve during COVID. I got fat during COVID. God took care of us. Write down two different paths. I was thinking about you when I said that, James. James just told me his testimony from last year. It's like everybody. I have a friend. Pastors in Europe, they bought a church building during COVID in a city. Now, if you've never been to Europe, real estate in cities is very hard to come by. Parking is non-existent. I went to run an errand yesterday, and I was just thinking about the difference between America and Europe, because America, there's just acres of parking. You know, like when you go to Walmart, how there's a massive parking lot, you can like drive figure eights, you can drive through parking spaces looking for other parking spaces. That doesn't exist in Europe. You could go somewhere in Europe and drive around for 50 minutes to an hour looking for a parking spot. I'm not exaggerating. He bought a building with parking. during COVID as a church that's less than 10 years old. There's no run out for the child of God. Two different paths. Now make it personal. Write and confess. I walk a different path. Number four. Read Psalm 1, 1 to 3. This kind of coincides with what I'm talking about. I won't keep you a ton longer. I'll bang out these other points and pray for you. Don't miss them. Psalm 1, 1 to 3. Oh, the joys of those who don't follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord. Praise God. Meditating on it day and night. That's what we're doing right now. Law of the Lord, meditating on it day. That's what we're all doing. We're focusing our minds on what God said. They are like trees planted along the riverbank. Three things. In every season, they bear fruit. Their leaves never wither. And whatsoever they do, it prospers. Number four, no dry seasons. I'm going through a season of attack right now. You need to read your Bible and quit going through a season of attack. What has the power to attack you? It doesn't say these signs will follow them that believe. They'll be attacked by devils. It says they'll cast out devils. No dry seasons. In every season, they bear fruit. You know, I'm almost 60 now, so I've been looking into retiring from the ministry. You need to look into Psalm 1. Because every season is to improve on the one before. No dry seasons. Every season, you bear fruit. Your leaves never wither. And I want you to get that. Leaves never wither. Nothing has the power to wither your leaves except you deciding to get off the path of righteousness and live in sin. I just have such a great optimism's too light of a word. Just confidence in God and happiness in me, because I realize as long as I won't sin and get on the wrong side of God, I can only go up. And it's easy not to sin. Ten Commandments, about half deal with honoring God and half deal with honoring people. Love people, treat them with love and honor, bless them. Don't take advantage of people, don't steal from them, don't physically assault them, don't sexually assault them, which for some reason you have to bring up nowadays because people are freaking nuts. And then honor God. Be in his house on Sunday. Give him the first part of everything you make. And that's it. It's not hard. My commandments are not difficult or burdensome. That's what the Bible says about its own commandments. They're not hard. Don't indulge your flesh in sin, and you only go up. Somebody wrote, I'm okay with staying right where he put me and not going anywhere. I don't know what context you mean that in. If you mean staying on the path that God has for you, that's good. But you should be thankful for where you are now, but not content to stay there. Because God commanded increase, and God put the desire for increase in you. You wanting more in life is not your fault. God made you that way. And obviously he didn't make you that way and then resents you feeling like that. You always make sure never to cross into greed. But it's like me. If you actually stay where you are, you'll die. What if the Lord had given me that instruction on December 31st about building a church? Nah, I'm good now. I like how things are now. I like traveling out on the weekend. I like doing check the news. We're in a pretty good system right now. Don't need to go crazy adding other things. That's a big expense. It sounds like it would be safer to stay where I'm at, but then you die. All of a sudden, people wouldn't enjoy. You know, I used to watch check the news. I don't really care for it much anyway. You like lose it. You lose the anointing. People that were attracted to you for some reason, now all of a sudden, because you didn't stay on the path. God put the seed of increase on the inside of you, and he expects increase. Did they drop this level in the studio?
It was just about the feedback. Do you want to talk a little more?
A little more, yeah. No dry seasons. Yeah, that's good. Thanks, Eric. Took it as a compliment. Number five. I'll tell you what, I'll knock these out tomorrow. In the morning? Are you sure? Yeah. Oh. Write one more time, no dry seasons. I'm going to show you one of my favorite scriptures. Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4:10. Praise God. I have a good feeling about today. I feel like I'm going to get some good news today. My child, listen to me and do as I say, and you'll have a long, good life. If that was the only verse in the Bible, it'd be worth getting saved. Long, good life. We have like a heart abnormality that runs in our family that the doctor said if I don't take any measures, then I'd probably live till I'm 55. And then if I do take care of myself, I could maybe make it to like 62. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. Bible says you can have a long, good life. Kenneth Hagin was born with a deformed heart and was supposed to be dead at 15. He lived till he was 86. You can have what you want. I will teach you wisdom's ways and lead you in straight paths. When you walk, write that down. I'll lead you in straight paths. Do you know what straight paths are? I'll tell you what a straight path isn't. I went to Bible college, and then I became, I got my esthetician's license, and I did nails and hair, and then I went back into the ministry part-time. But then, you know, people are scattered. Like, nothing builds. A straight path, I've done one thing since I went to Bible, you know, the Lord just called me into ministry at 8, told me what Bible school to go to at 10, went to the Bible school, meetings opened up, then you build on that to what it is now and keep building. You just stay. There's no wasted years. I'll lead you on straight paths. When you hear people that don't follow the Lord or follow the leading of the Holy Ghost, they're just in a million different directions. I'm thinking about moving to California because my friend moved out there and she said there's good opportunities because, you know, they're just blown like the wind, every different direction. But God said he'll lead you in straight paths. Write down, I'll never waste 1 year of my life. You only get a handful, you know, 70, 80, 90. It's not a lot. Life is but a vapor. Here today and gone tomorrow. There's no... New Year's Eve seems like it's yesterday. Me preaching it in Texas and seeing you, you know, it felt like it was 4 weeks ago. No, years just boom, boom, boom. So you can't afford to waste years. Another reason I never shut down from preaching. I'm not taking a year off. I don't want to get a 50 or 60 in the ministry. Too valuable. You could get me to burn $1 million of my dollars in a bonfire before you could get me to waste a year. I can get more money. I can't multiply time. When you walk, you won't be held back. When you run, you won't stumble. Maybe we'll make that our scripture for today. Proverbs 4:12. When you walk, you won't be held back. When you run, you'll never stumble. Not you'll never fall. You'll never stumble. I mean, we all fall. No, not watch the we part. When I run, I won't stumble. Running without stumbling. Supernatural acceleration. I'm going to pray for you in just a second. I feel in my spirit like all of the great things God did last year for his people in during the COVID season is going to pale in comparison to what God's going to do the second half of this year. There'll be a running without stumbling. Full speed ahead, no hindrance. Hallelujah. Well, as we close out, just lift your hands where you are and receive that. The next 6 months will be the greatest 6 months you've ever had. Supernatural acceleration. Running without stumbling. Every month, an improvement on the month before. Record-breaking months, followed by a record-breaking month. Just speaking financially, I think we had, at one point in our ministry, we had like 6 consecutive months that set the record for income that came into the ministry. Set the record, broke it the next month, broke it the next month, broke it the next month. You get what you preach. I don't preach dry seasons. I mean, you know, sometimes the Lord has us in like a desert season. No. In every season, they bear fruit. Their leaves never wither, and whatsoever they doeth, it shall prosper. That's God's word to me. It's in the Bible. That's as much Bible as John 3:16. That's God's word to you. Turn your faith up. Get ready to possess the land. God has a miracle with your name on it. God has a miracle with your family's name on it. Where you are now will not be where you finish. Your best days are not behind you. Your best days are still to come. I don't care if you're 81. Going forward. Doors are opening. Favor is multiplying in your life in Jesus' name. There's no G20, G7, Illuminati, IMF, Economic World Forum that can alter that plan. No, not even close. I walk a different path. I'll have you write that as the final thing. Write it one more time. I walk a different path. I'm not on the Broadway that leads to hell. I'm on the straight and narrow path that leads to heaven. And that path has nothing but goodness and mercy in it. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. If you're starting broadcasts, you just started a YouTube thing like Marcy, you know, and you're in the day, like I remember clearly, where, you know, you have 120 subscribers, 40 subscribers. You have 6 people watching the stream. Don't worry about it. Despise not the day of small beginnings. Though your beginning may be small, your latter end shall greatly increase. Maybe God uses me as an example to encourage you. I got thrown off YouTube, and they put me back on. When God's anointed you and ordained you to do what you're doing, people can't stop you. You can only stop yourself by living in sin. And you're not going to. Go to war against sin. Go to war against the desires of your flesh. And stay walking on the path God has for you. You're going to have the best month you've ever had. And you're going to have the best 6 months you've ever had. In Jesus' name. The righteous will eat in plenty. The righteous will inherit the land. You're welcome. What plans do you have? Listen to me now. What plans do you have in your heart that you've shelved because you were worried about COVID? Maybe, you know, if you're confused about Bible prophecy, you won't do anything. You know, I think the Antichrist is going to do it. Not understanding Bible prophecy correctly makes you want to bunker down. Don't get married. Don't have kids. Don't start a business. Don't buy land. What's the difference of buying anyway? We're going to leave it all behind. Yeah, for 7 years, then just come back and take it back. By force. Occupy till I come. It's time to do business for the king. God didn't put dreams in your heart because he forgot what era we're in. Oh, yeah, remember I told you you're going to do all that. I forgot, you know, that we're like in the last days. No. The greatest, most prosperous, most increasing, most advancing church that there's ever been on planet Earth will be this final generation. We're going to put on a show before Jesus comes back. Jesus is not calling us out of the earth a weak, defeated mess. He's coming back for a glorious, victorious, conquering church. Amen? I don't want to hear about any small life. If you follow me and you do what I say, how are you going to stay small? You'll own businesses. You'll employ people. Everyone that's looking for a job right now, in the end, you will employ people who are looking for jobs. You're not a struggler. You're not the world's slave. You're God's son. You're God's daughter. And the Bible says in the last days, you will see that difference. It'll be visible to people that you serve a living God. Somebody wrote, brother, your words feel good right now. Bible says how satisfying are right words, how pleasurable are right words. It's the Bible. It's not a motivational speech. It's fact. You're gonna blow up, man. You're going to do great. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what's never entered into the heart of man, that's what God has reserved for you, you personally. Holy Ghost will tell you how to get there. He's like a compass. He'll point you in the right direction. He'll tell you where to live. He'll tell you what to do. Give you instructions. Follow the instructions. Love you, Missy. You're a testimony. That's right, Steve. Father, we receive all that Christ has done for us. Thank you for anointing us today with fresh oil to multiply and possess the land. In Jesus' name, you've been so good to us, and we give you the glory. You're a wonderful God. You're an awesome God. Tremendous. We love you. Thanks in advance for all that's going on behind the scenes in our favor that we don't even know about. You're a good God. I'll tell you, when I get in a mood like this, I usually lose a lot of money. Thing is, though, it all comes back. Because to me, it's like the more I feast on this in the Bible, I just feel like very rich. I feel like money's like tap water. Because it is. Because God, when the Lord's pleased with you, life becomes very easy. Things are different for you. Favor. You know, if you had somebody watching from a church that's different than my kind, they'd say, I don't believe that either. These people teach the life gets easier. Jesus taught it. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly at heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't believe that. Okay, then explain to me the biblical concept of favor. Please explain to me, from your perspective, the Bible concept, the Bible doctrine of the Abrahamic blessing that is to all those who are in Christ. Explain to me what that blessing is, my sour-faced friend. I am the seed of Abraham, and everything God promised him belongs to me. That's what Galatians 3 says. It's hard to twist that into hard life. Wife that couldn't have a baby had a baby. Lived in his father's home. Got his own nation. 318 trained fighting servants at his own private military to protect all that God gave him. I don't see poverty in that. I don't see struggling in that. I see glory to glory, victory to victory, and strength to strength. If you've never received Jesus Christ, you need to do that right now. Pray this out loud with me. Heavenly Father, I admit that I've sinned. I repent. I believe in my heart, you raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord and my Savior. Right now, I receive forgiveness. By the blood of Jesus, I am saved. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that with me, welcome to the family of God. Please let me know that you did, right? I did in the comments, because I'm always interested to see who prayed. Then secondly, go to revivaltoday.com and click I just got saved. Fill that out completely. And I'm going to send you a Bible and other material that will help you live the Christian life. And that's it. If you never want to hear from me again, you don't have to. I just want you to go to heaven. Great testimonies in the comments. I would put, you know, like giving wise, I would put seed in the ground today. Like, from your spirit, what would the Lord have you to give? To give him something to multiply for what he's going to do the next 6 months. That would be my motivation in giving today. We'll call it a dream seed. This seed isn't to feed kids, though it will. This seed isn't to build a church, though it will. This seed is to put something in God's hand so that he can multiply back to you. To take in 6 months where you couldn't get in 60 years. That church we're building right now, that'll be building number 3 that we own debt-free from somebody that couldn't that didn't have the money to get their car registered 8 years ago, or maybe a little more than that now, 10 years. No longer than that. Couldn't get their car fixed. Pay the rent on the last day of the grace period for my apartment with a fine for tardiness. Things don't have to continue the way they've always been. Revelation from God's word and acting on that revelation won't only change your life. Camila has a different life. It's amazing. If you'll step into that flow, faith is an action. Faith is acting on the word of God. And that's why seed sowing has power. Because if you do it right, you know, if you do it like I'm telling you, we're not, hey, we need your help, you know, we're building a church and we don't have the money, but if you could help us, partner. It's not that. I'm giving this, I'm laying this on an altar to God to provoke divine blessing. I'm sowing this seed to provoke God's hand to act on my behalf. What do you give to do that? You give as directed by the Spirit, and you give generously. What's a generous amount? That's different for everybody. That's why I don't say, like, I believe five people are going to sow $1,000. Some people could sow $1,000 without blinking. And some people couldn't give $1,000 if you held them by the ankles over a fire escape and shook them till everything came out of their pockets. They don't have it. Some people that sowed $1,000, it would be an insult to God for where he's brought you. I'm talking, when, if you're sowing seed for what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, then it should be that type of seed. If you don't feel what leaves your hand, you won't feel what comes back. If you feel what leaves your hand, you will feel the harvest that comes back. That's Bible. 2 Corinthians 9, 6-11. He that sows generously will reap generously. So that's why I don't like embarrassedly blow through the giving part at the end like a lot of people do. Hey, we're just giving you, because it take a little time, hear the voice of God in your spirit, and so offerings are as holy as altar calls. They're both ordained by God. They're both holy in the Bible. I actually don't read about anybody dying in the Bible for how they inappropriately responded to an altar call. But I do read about a couple called Ananias and Sapphira that got dropped dead for how they handled the offering. So it's not a small thing. It's a huge thing. Here's the ways you can give. So, I'll use the word so. #donate on Facebook. You can text RT to 50155. Cash App, $RTGive. What kind of flight route do you have tomorrow? Pittsburgh to where? Minneapolis? Is there direct Pittsburgh? Chicago? Just curious.
Pittsburgh to Minnesota.
I had it right. Minnesota to Omaha. Text RT to 50155. Cash App, $RTGive. Venmo, at RTGive. PayPal, revivaltoday.com/PayPal. Cryptocurrency. You can scan the QR code to give cryptocurrency, or you can just do it on revivaltoday.com and click Give Now. If there's a cryptocurrency you'd like to give that you don't see listed there, you can give it, but you have to do it by phone. So that number is microscopically at the bottom. Guys, if you could use a smaller font for that phone number, that would be great. Make it full screen real quick. 412-446-2332. A usable size would be great. And then finally, you can mail it, Revival Today, P.O. Box 7, Prosperity, Pennsylvania, 15329. You can speak to a human being, 412-446-2332. However you give, to ensure your tax receipted in the United States and that we have your name and address for offers, go to revivaltoday.com and click Claim My Offer. I'm actually not giving a thank you gift today. Your thank you gift will be from God. I want to do it like that. I want you to think about your dream and sow with that in mind. Because no matter how much I say the stuff about the books, which I will continue to do that, but just for today, I think no matter how much I say the stuff about the book is a thank you from us. I think in a lot of people's minds, it just ends up being like buying a book. And today's not that. Thanks, Eileen. Love calling your office, sweet people. Thank you for your seat. Tomorrow, Lincoln, Nebraska. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. If you're anywhere out in the Midwest, come see me. If you got to get on a plane, get a hotel, you won't regret it. 8251 Pioneers Boulevard, Lincoln, Nebraska. Elevate Church. First time I've ever been to Nebraska at all, not to preach, ever in my life. What are the other ones? Winners Church, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. That'll be the first time I've ever been to Oklahoma City. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then there's one more. Can't remember. Oh, yeah, Choose Life, 25th through the 30th. That July is going to be great. What about Adalys' thing? That's in New Mexico, by the way. So make your plans. What about Adalys' thing at the beginning of July? You have a graphic for that or no? Dallas is going to be at in Rowlett at Church in the City in the beginning of July. That'll be on our website. All this prophecy stuff and end time stuff is bull, S-H-I-T. So you think when the Bible said that Israel would be reborn as a nation, and it was, you think that didn't happen? You just like pretend Israel doesn't exist? I think people are on a lot of drugs, either like street drugs, like marijuana and all that. This is just my personal opinion. Or prescription medication drugs that affect their mind. Because if you are a sober-minded person, you could never make a statement like that. It doesn't even have to do with being religious or anything. It has to do with having a working brain.
Hey, this is Jonathan Shuttlesworth. I want to thank you for listening to my podcast, or if you're listening to my wife's, thank you on her behalf. If you want to be more than just a casual listener and stand with us as we take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, go to revivaltoday.com and click Give Now. And be a part of the 1,000 monthly partners that we're believing for. I have a special gift that I'll send to you today, and I'll say thank you in advance. Until next time, thanks for listening. See you later.